Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on the 6th of October. As we plow through yet another month doing what we do.
Yeah, it's our official Oktoberfest month for DH Unplugged, right?
Yes, exactly.
What's going on with that? So obviously it's a beer festival. It's a whole celebration with bratwurst and all that good stuff.
In Germany, in Deutschland.
In Germany. And then you get dressed up and all that good stuff. You have a Stein.
I don't know that anybody gets dressed up. I've been to a couple of celebrations in October in Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the big Brauhaus.
I mean,
they're huge. We have massive.
We have a big German restaurant down the block from us. Called Old Heidelberg, and it's good to have. It's fun every once in a while, but that is some heavy food. You know, the schnitzels and the bratwurst and the Jägermeister, whatever it is. It's all very heavy.
You're at one of these big places. I don't know if you must have been to one. These big giant Brauhauses in Deutschland, they're big giant benches with, you know, hundreds of people, maybe thousands in this place. And they're just bringing the beer out as fast as they can. And they bring out some sausages and stuff, but it's more of a snack as background to the beer, it seems to me. I don't see anybody sitting down for a big dinner.
You know, I've been all over the world, right? I have never been to Germany.
Oh, well, I've been all over the world, too, and I've never been to India.
I haven't been there either.
Oh, well, there you got two.
Yeah, two places.
Oh, Germany's a must.
Yeah. And my big fishing trip was canceled. I was supposed to be in Montauk, Long Island, last weekend.
Wasn't that because of the weather?
Yeah, the weather. I couldn't go. It was 15-foot seas.
Yeah, you can't go out.
No. I have a few things to mention. We have something new, which is a little buggy right now, but by the time, hopefully, you hear this, it will be fixed. And that is, we are locking down the stock picks, the weekly stock picks sheet, where you can track all the different stocks that we talk about and things that are going on and what the pricing is and all that. We're just asking for a quick registration so that we don't have any people that shouldn't be on there, you know, kind of mincing around. And basically go over to DH Unplugged, and when you click the DH Unplugged weekly...
Mincing around.
Stock picks area, it will pop up. We'll have a registration. And if you have any problems with login, maybe you can't get back in, just be patient. We'll get it all done very, very shortly. And we're also looking into another game with prizes, cash awards, where we're going to have either a index price target challenge or a stock. We'll name a couple of stocks, and whoever gets closest by a certain date, we're going to have that coming soon. So we're working on all the details now and the design and the development. Woo.
So we're busy.
Yeah, busy. We don't mince around. We don't mince.
That's not no mincing.
Nope. All right, let's talk about markets a little bit. Big pop last week after a miserable jobs report. 142,000 new additions to payrolls. Last 2 months were actually revised lower by about 60,000. So in what are we
skipping? And if I'm not mistaken, the break even is 150. So that was a negative jobs report.
Right. It was a negative jobs report. Now they're starting to talk. Now you hear, oh, we only need 100,000. And starting to hear those come out of the woodworks.
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
Lies.
Yeah. It's like, well, the frackers need like $75 to break even.
Yeah. Well, that's not going to happen.
Now they need $42. Well, wait, how'd that happen? So we saw this 142, which was much lower than expected. I think it was 200,000 that was expected. And last month was lowered, reduced down. The unemployment rate, the official rate, stayed at 5.1%. But I think this is pretty important this particular time around. The labor participation rate is at a 38-year low. 38.
That means for the last 38, which is fine. It's a 40-year cycle the way I see things. And but what that means is that people have just given up all hope.
Yep. 500,000 people left the workforce. So if you think about it, we have a 5.1% unemployment rate because all these people left the workforce. And if 500,000 people left, it's not really at all part of the, it's not like people were fired. They got disgusted. They just couldn't find work.
I think that if the whole country left the workforce, we'd be in pretty good shape because we'd have zero unemployment.
Yeah, that'd be good. Statistics don't lie, but liars always, no, what is it? Figures don't lie, but liars always try to figure.
I don't know what it was. There's a couple of sayings about statistics.
Right. So what happened was, it was interesting. The markets were really, you know, amped up after a few days of down last week. And after the whole Yellen debacle and all that that we've talked about. The jobs number comes out 8:30 in the morning. And the market is stunned by how bad it is. It immediately goes from up about, I don't know, 12 or 13 handles on the S&P straight down and doesn't stop till the opening bell at 9:30. So from 8:30 to 9:30, we lost about 2% on the futures. Pretty big move. Well, all of a sudden, I guess maybe somebody had the bright idea, you know, if this unemployment number is so bad, I bet the Fed's not going to raise and maybe we'll even come in with more stimulus. And I guess somehow that got around or something. And the market started climbing.
Well, it makes logical sense.
Yeah. This is the ultimate good news. The bad news is good news and good news is bad news. So this is bad news is good news. And the move that happened, the short squeeze that occurred, had the markets, the S&P 500, the Dow, finish up by about 2.5% on the day. That was pretty impressive. Monday was another follow-through day by 1.5%. And what was really interesting was the reports that came out after that, the stocks that went up the most were the most shorted stocks that is tracked by Goldman Sachs. So that's kind of tells you about the rally. It was a shit rally.
Wow.
You know, all the crap stocks kind of got squozen.
Hmm.
So, and then we saw 1.5% follow through. There was some bad news overnight last night. For example, it was a bad news, good news thing. DuPont decided, I guess, through activist pressure that they're going to be replacing their CEO. And at the same time, they made an announcement that their earnings were going to be pretty much horrible moving forward. Stock's up 6%. So I guess the CEO issue. I always wondered, if you're a CEO and you put out bad news and at the same time you leave and your stock's up 6%, do you feel pretty crappy?
I would say that's a vote of no confidence.
I mean, I would feel just awful. It sounds terrible.
I'm actually sorry to see her go because she's on my list of all these women CEOs out there that when people say, oh, there's no women CEOs. And I know there's a ton of them. Lockheed Martin's got a woman running it. Mm-hmm. General Motors has got a woman running it. Yep. DuPont had a woman running it. Mm-hmm. HP's got these big computer companies have a woman. HP's got Meg, and there's Gina over at IBM. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, yeah, there's lots of them. They're all over the place.
Right. So anyway, we saw this follow through. Then we had a couple of pieces of news out that weren't just some of the. It's not officially earnings season until the end of the week with Alcoa, but there was a few things out there that was not really good in terms of European manufacturing was pretty awful, which of course made their markets go up by like 3%. There was some things out of Japan that they're not going to be doing further stimulus right now, and some of their numbers look pretty awful. Our export numbers look terrible today. Anyway, a lot of things are going on, so the markets are kind of hanging in there right now, but we're starting to get into earnings season. We saw after the close today, Yum Brands, which is Taco Bell and Kentucky Fried Chicken, they came out with a pretty awful report. Missed by a mile on their earnings, and their outlook was terrible, and their commentary on China was absolutely awful. Absolutely awful. Stock's down about 17% after hours.
Whose commentary on China?
Yum Brands.
What have they got to do? They're in China. That's right. They would have a couple of these franchises over there. A
couple of these franchises. The Kentucky Fried Chicken is like the Chinese love it. I mean, I'm not kidding either. They get more income. Yum Brands gets more income from China than anywhere else.
Well, what's causing the down? Oh, China.
China, yeah.
Why am I asking?
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah. So there's a big problem there, and they've had problems before. They had the bad chicken issue with the bird flu. They've had all sorts of things, But whatever the reason is right now, whatever's going on right now, there is, and they even brought in Chinese food. I thought this is crazy. Kentucky Fried Chicken brought in Chinese food to serve in China. That would be like, would that be like a Chinese restaurant here, like Peiwei, having hamburgers?
It's like taking a an ice machine to the North Pole.
Yeah, I don't get it. I just don't understand it. But anyway.
China. Well, you see it. You know, Chinese American food, and the guys will have egg foo young. They'll have chow mein. They'll have hamburgers.
Right.
You've seen these restaurants.
We have waffles available, hamburgers, and eggs over easy at the Chinese restaurant. So the other thing that we've been seeing over the weekend was that several key firms were lowering their year-end targets on the S&P 500. Notably, Bank of America now lowered their target to 2,000. You know what I always wonder, too, is these guys at the end of the year, when they adjust their numbers really close to the end of the year and they get it really close, do they do like a high five? Like, yeah, we nailed that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they probably do. Why not?
You're good. You got a couple adjustments here and there as the year went on. Of course, that's just of course. Anyway, we saw, I think Goldman also dropped their numbers and a few others are dropping their numbers. There's a concern about earnings, especially with the currency headwinds. Pepsi Cola came out with their earnings and their stock went up as well on this. But again, we're starting with this constant currency discussion.
Yeah.
And I tweeted this morning, I wondered, is constant currency a like generally accepted accounting principle that companies are allowed to talk about? Because
I've never heard of it before this year.
Right. And then what's going to happen is when and if the dollar turns and changes direction and it becomes a tailwind, are they still going to report that? Probably not. No. No, it wasn't because we got benefit from currency. It's because we're doing really well. Adobe came out with some numbers tonight also. They came out with, I thought this was terrible. This was kind of an interim update. They saw that fiscal year 16, they're estimating $2.70 a share versus $3.21, which was the consensus. And revenues will be $5.7 billion versus $5.92. Then they gave some weird thing that they're looking at fiscal years 15 through 18 on a non-GAAP EPS annual growth rate of 30%. So they're going to grow their earnings that much and 20% on revenue. I don't know how.
Isn't this the same scam that was pulled by HP, remember, about 2 or 3, 4 years ago?
What'd they do?
HP had these crazy projections. This is before Meg Whitman came in.
And this is long-term, you mean?
Yeah, long-term stuff.
IBM did that too. IBM
never works. They're not even close.
Not even close. But again, they'll adjust it up to the last minute and go, yeah, hey, give themselves high fives. Just like the other guys. So this was a big night for that. I think the biggest takeaway from this evening, Adobe was down about 10% or so, kind of clawed its way back a bit. Yum Brands did not come back at all. And many of the stocks that are associated with China also fell with the real negative commentary from Yum Brands. I'd like to see how this plays out with, you know, overall Chinese stocks in the next couple of days, because I think this is kind of interesting. Now, Alcoa is coming out.
I didn't think about it before you mentioned it, but now I think that maybe Yum Brands, because they're so embedded in China, might be a good leading indicator.
Exactly. I totally agree. And it's not leading at this point. They're on the point. Because we already know.
Right, right. Well, leading indicator for what the stocks might do.
Right.
Not for what's really going on.
Right. So let's see what else. Alcoa is coming out Thursday. They've been doing all sorts of things along with many of the other material companies like...
It should be down.
U.S. Steel. There is so little hope for these companies right now that there is a potential that even if they come close to something... with some of the closing of their mines and their rolling facilities, and that maybe there's something could happen. And they're all talking about shedding different parts of the company, splitting it up. Alcoa is going to be breaking up the company. That was a good little pop for the company. Freeport-McMoRan got a nice boost.
Now, talking about being depressing.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to break up our company. Yeah. Yay!
Right, exactly. A few companies have done that. They take it and they roll out their crap into another company and, you know, put it on some unknowing investor.
They have this in the first place is the question I'd ask.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with the earnings season. Next week will be even bigger. We'll see some of the banks come out. Google's coming out, or Alphabet. Who knows what that's going to be a mess. You know, going to start reporting different things in different companies now.
No, it's just a way to confuse everyone.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got here. Okay. Now, this is a story I want to talk to you about because this brings back, it's a little bit of a, I want to read some of this because there's a little bit of some of the background that I think is important. And this is the kind of thing that you see well after something happens. And it's kind of like when the Fed made their moves in 2008 behind closed doors and in secrecy. And
yeah.
And you couldn't get any information until 5 or 7 years later. Why? Well, they didn't want to shock the public. Well, hello. So you're going to keep it from us? That's not good either. Anyway, no. It seems as if the European Central Bank, the ECB, is now being sued by 200 investors over its role in Greek debt restructuring, in a case which could pave the way for a raft of legal action from the private sector. This is from the Telegraph. A group of Italian retail investors are claiming damages in excess of 12 million euros because the ECB, they said, violated its equal creditor status during the biggest private sector debt restructuring in history in 2012. Now, this is what happened. During the episode, the ECB was able to swap its holdings of Greek government debt for protected bonds with no repayment date. Remember when they were kind of restructuring everything?
Mm-hmm.
This move ensured the ECB would not suffer any losses from the deal to stave off a Greek bankruptcy in March of 2012. In total, the restructuring wiped out more than 100 billion euro from the country's debt pile and ensured Greece received its second international bailout. The ECB also later allowed national central banks to repurchase Greek government debt at a discounted rate. The claimants in this case said that these actions gave the ECB unfair preferential treatment and imposed heavier losses on non-official assets, on non-official debt holders. In other words, so what happened was the ECB said, you know what? We know you have all this debt outstanding, but in order to do this deal, we're going to come first. We're going to swap our debt to a deal that has no repayment date, so therefore there's no default on it. And at the same time, we're also going to let the national banks around Europe purchase a bunch of Greek bonds at a discounted rate. And then we're going to prop them all up by backing them. And then at the same time, a lot of this other stuff was restructured to a point that investors lost tons of money. So the ECB just basically came in, ransacked the bonds, said, we'll take it all. Thank you very much. You all the guys that invested because we told you it was safe. You're screwed. It's pretty interesting, right?
Yeah, I'm surprised some. Yeah, this looks, you're right. This would lead to a lot of lawsuits. A
lot of lawsuits. I don't know. You know, the old you can't sue the government concept. I don't know how they're getting away with it here, except for that maybe they're going to go with the route.
Well, you
that,
can sue the government. You can sue. We sue the government's getting sued all the time.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go. So I find the story pretty amazing. I mean, because again, it's, you know, the whole thing, we'll help out. We're going to make sure everything stays good. And then, you know, behind the scenes, they kind of screw a lot of people. Kind of par for the same thing happened with our situation here where the government took on all the, or even with Warren Buffett, if you have enough money, you know, Warren Buffett said, hey, you know, we'll give you $5 billion, but you're going to have to guarantee me 8% plus this, plus that, plus this. Nobody else can get that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah. Buffett got a sweet deal.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Anyway, let's talk to about a couple of things that I thought were really interesting in terms of this two issues that are kind of similar. One is much more egregious than the other. The first one is semi-problematic. It's the average cost for using an ATM. Now, if you use your ATM, you go to a bank. Let's say you have Bank of America, whatever it is. You go to a Bank of America teller, ATM. You take out money, you deposit money, whatever you do, no charge. Right? It's kind of free using the same bank. If you go to another bank and you take out money, you charge the fee. And oftentimes, the bank that you're working with charges you a fee as well. So you get two fees, right?
Sometimes. I mean, with my bank, I supposedly, if I have money in the account and I use the Bank of America automatic teller and they charge me $5 or whatever jip rate they charge me, my bank will reimburse me.
So you don't have any fee at all?
Right.
Really?
For using, for the ATM.
Hmm.
Well, a lot of small banks have that deal. But if they keep jacking up the price, I don't know how long that deal is going to last.
Exactly. So the average cost for using an ATM that isn't tied to a customer's account rose to a record $4.52 per transaction over the year. That's crazy. $5.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's 5% of a if you're just taking 100 out, it's 5%.
And what's interesting about that is, if you think about it, you're saving them all sorts of money.
Well, this has been my complaint from the beginning, because when the ATMs first came into being, they're robot tellers, and they're supposed to save the bank money. They're supposed to save money. So why are they gouging the customer to use it? It's like every time you use it, you should be saving the bank money.
Because
instead
they can.
Of going in the bank and asking for a cash out, they'll give you the thing with a no charge that way, generally. Maybe Bank of America won't, because they're a horrible bank. But yeah, that's what I always thought. It was supposed to be, so oh, let's fire a bunch of tellers, put these ATMs in, it'd be available all the time, no big deal. The service just is, put some money in it once in a while. You don't need a lot of service. Yeah, it's supposed to save the bank money. So why are they charging anything? They should be giving us money for using it.
Right. Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. You use the ATM, we'll give you a 50-cent credit. But yeah, they don't. So that's the first story. The second story that's kind of related to gouging is biotechs. Have you been watching what's going on?
No, because I can't get to the stocks.
Generally speaking, have you been looking with?
No, I have not. I have not been following biotechs that closely.
Now by the way, what John is mentioning is he's using the new browser from Windows 10, which is, what is it called?
Edge.
Edge. And somehow he's getting some weird things that come up on his DH Unplugged when he logs in. Again, if anybody has any trouble, just send in a email. There's plenty of places you could do that. So the point is, what happened, if you remember back, this all started with that creep from Turing Pharmaceuticals that came in and took the drug from $13.50 to $700 overnight.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then Hillary Clinton tweeted, price gouging. Oh, gosh, I'm going to come up with a plan. This is terrible. Then the next day, she has some kind of a plan she comes out with. But all of a sudden, now all hell breaks loose. The biotech companies are getting just beaten up. And all of a sudden, there's all sorts of negative things happening, right? Okay, now, kind of continue on over the last number of days, or the last couple of weeks, and more information is coming out. We saw front page news, I think it was the New York Times yesterday. We see this Valiant. Valiant's a company that comes in and buys other companies. And I saw a spreadsheet and a graphic that showed the date they purchased the company and the date the main drug that company sells had a price increase. It was like a day later. And the price went from, let's say, whatever it is.
This is going to be a mania. This is the way to go.
Yep.
We should be doing this.
Yeah. So they bought all these companies, and then each and every company they just took and just jacked up the price of their drugs.
Right, to pay for the acquisition.
Right, or just to make all sorts of money.
Well, I mean, to make a bunch of money, but also pays for the acquisition.
Uh-huh.
So the acquisition's free.
Right, exactly.
I got this lecture from this one-time CEO. This was years ago when I was visiting the CEO of Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
I had some idea I was pitching him. And he says, the price, he hates the book business. He says, because all these publishers were buying everybody's book, companies like Pearson, for example. They bought up everybody. They bought Macmillan. They bought Simon & Schuster. They bought all these companies. And he says the first thing they did was jack up the prices of all the books. So you buy the company and you jack up all the prices. He said, what kind of business is that?
Yep.
He always claimed it was to pay for the acquisition.
Well, I mean, this is a big problem because you're talking about not only companies doing the acquisition, then in fact, jacking up prices. But companies like Pfizer, who I think the number is something like 60 or so of their drugs this year have had price increases that are in like the anywhere from 30 to 50%.
Yeah, and that's low. They'll just keep jacking them up.
The average hike this year, from what I saw, was 66% overall.
Because they can.
Right.
We have no government regulators that do anything about this. Oh, God, it'd be interfering with the free market. And besides, it'll be taken care of with generics. The generic companies have been bought out by the big pharma, so they don't change the prices when a generic comes out, so you can't get a deal. Everything's just a big, giant scam. The FTC does nothing. The government does nothing. Everyone's in the, you know, all the Congress people are in the pockets of these big pharma guys and little pharma for that matter. And it just goes on and on. And this is outrageous.
But here's the problem. If there is oversight, well, not oversight, if there is pricing oversight, there are problems with that. Because if you have a company...
There's huge problems with that because now we're talking about the price fix, not price fixing, but you know the price stabilization efforts, which always fail.
But the problem is the drug companies are going to come in and say, hey, you know what? The reason we need to increase our prices is because we're doing all this research and development. And look at this incredible amount of drugs that we have come out with that are life-saving and essential today. If we don't get these kind of increases, we're not going to have the money to do research and development. That's going to be their play.
Yeah, it's a lie.
What, explain to us how it's a lie.
Let's take a look at Pfizer's profits, say 2 years ago before they started jacking all these prices up. Billions and billions of dollars are being made. They got plenty of money to do R&D. They're just not doing it. They just want how much more? This money is going into the CEO's pocket. It's not going into the R&D. That's bull crap.
Well, some of it is.
If you show me a balance sheet of Pfizer, say, oh, these poor bastards are going out of business because of these low prices. But that's not the case.
Right. They've gotten ridiculous is the point. I mean, there's one thing about increasing your price at a reasonable level. It's another thing entirely where I had the statistic, too.
It's called gouging.
I think Pfizer's price increases alone, just the price increases over the last, I think it would have to be 2 years, two and a half years, is over $1 billion of profits, additional profits over that period of time. Just the price increases.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little bit schnorry. And the problem is who pays it? You know, you have the government from Medicare, Medicaid, and whatever it may be, social plans. You have the insurance companies that pay it. And in the end, who pays all those places? It's us. It's me and you.
Yeah, in a roundabout way. But when we see the price increase, but we still only pay $5 of copay, even though the drug is $200, and maybe the drug goes to $400, it's still $5 copay. It's not that big of a deal. So people don't see the scam for what it is. Mm-hmm. And of course, then they just bitch at the insurance companies for jacking up the prices when the insurance companies are having to pay for these ridiculous drugs, and so is the government.
Right.
This is horrible.
Yep. That's what, you know what my insurance is for my family per month for health insurance?
It's
$1,750. Too much. $1,750.
Yeah. How many people?
Technically, there's three. But it doesn't matter how many kids I have on it right now. One or 10, it's the same price. $1,750 per month for an average plan. It's not a great plan. It's not like I have this platinum service, you know, with...
No, you probably have high deductible.
Yeah, I have high deductible HMO or PPO.
PPO.
Yeah. Pretty pathetic. So...
Do not understand why the public hasn't risen up.
Yeah, well, they're doing it now.
If Elizabeth Warren ever becomes president in 2016, which I still believe she can do, she's going to go. She's going to be making the most noise about this. She won't do anything, but she'll be making the most noise.
Well, now that you mentioned the election, the Democratic debate's going to be coming up shortly, right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Who is going to be on that stage?
Hillary.
Yeah. Exactly. Seriously. You got a Sanders? Is he in that? Is he in that?
I guess Sanders and Hillary would just be up there, the two of them.
That's the two of them, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, okay.
Blowing each other kisses.
Yeah, it seems that way.
It's going to get, you take a look at what the rating is going to be for that thing. It'll be like nothing. No one's going to watch it. Who cares?
Yeah, they're going to probably be a calling to get Trump on the stage. He has shifted parties before.
Yeah, well, maybe you should go back to being a Democrat and get on that stage. That'd draw in a crowd.
Yeah. So this is obviously more than a campaign issue right now because Congress is involved. Congress is getting involved in this right now. And they are already requesting information from Valiant, number one, because they're seemingly the most egregious when it comes to some of these price increases. And then they also have to take a look at this whole, this advertising and marketing issue. I am so sick of Cialis and Humira and pick your poison. Have you watched CNN lately? It's like all it is drug commercials.
Oh, CNN, forget CNN, NBC, ABC, and CBS during the news hour. All drug commercials. And so, of course, this is one of the arguments I like to talk about on No Agenda. So what you have is a situation where none of these companies will actually go after the scam, the overall scam of drug pricing, because all their money is coming from the right. Drug companies.
What else is new? You scratch my back, I'll make sure we don't say anything.
Yeah, we won't say nothing. You see all the drug companies bail out and watch the exposés come out. That won't happen.
And not only are these drug commercials plentiful, they're long. Are these commercials the longest commercials ever?
We've timed them. They tend to be rarely a minute. They tend to be a minute 30 to a minute 45 because of all the disclaimers they got to put in.
Right.
And it's a long commercial. It's very expensive.
Oh, terrible. All right. Here come the lawsuits. I don't know if we have a lawsuit chime. Do you have a chime of any sort for lawsuits? It's got to be the kazoo. It's got to be the kazoo.
No, this.
Oh, there you go. Yep, that's lawsuits. And welcome to the lawsuit hour. West Virginia attorney is suing Volkswagen in seeking restitution
and
civil penalties over claims it deceived car buyers about clean diesel engines. And, you know, Volkswagen's coming out with all sorts of crap, right? You know, like, well, in Germany, oh, the Volkswagen thing's not going to hurt our economy. No, of course not. Volkswagen's like, you know, we don't know if it's really going to affect a lot of things. Then they come out with, well, we're going to be cutting our CapEx, our expenditures on capital expansion, et cetera. We're going to be also, this is the two things, you know, the projection. So the first is we can correct all the problems related to the scandal by at the end of 2016. In other words, all the cars, which I don't know, maybe. I mean, they're going to have plenty of time because they're not going to be making any cars and selling them anywhere. Right? You know? And then this is my favorite line of the day. They have a couple of things in the discussion, and they said, and we're going to be closely monitoring management bonuses.
No, oh, they definitely should do that.
Monitoring.
Yeah.
You know, making sure that this is all, you know, good. Now, it would seem to me that management should probably not get a bonus this year. But that
I would say yes, you're right.
But is that going to happen?
I think it will. The Germans aren't like us.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get bonuses.
I mean,
the one guy quit.
Right, but now he's being investigated as he may be involved. You know, he probably quit thinking, if I just get the hell out of here, they'll leave me alone. I mean,
the stock went from 50 to 24 bucks because of that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You think anyone's going to get, he's not getting any bonuses.
No. Who knows how much the CEO got for resigning, though? Maybe he got a few million.
Oh, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he cleaned up.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Volkswagen's situation, I think, is pretty bad, obviously. In terms of the potential for problems with the German economy, because they employ so many people and it's so much a part of the German economy, the Volkswagen. I mean, they don't just make cars. They have a whole line of things they make in engines and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
So that's a big problem. The second thing is, as I mentioned, I think, and we talked about, was the potential for lawsuits. I mean, they're all over the place. You got class action lawsuits that are going to pop up everywhere about everything.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, I think that one of the other lines that I saw last week was that Volkswagen says that they do not believe that this situation is going to really tarnish their, you know, reputation too badly that people are not going to be buying cars from them. I would think that people would have a question as to the diesel cars that they'd buy from them, but we'll have to
see. Oh, yeah. No, no one's going to buy a diesel from them.
Yeah.
All right, regular cars are kind of, I mean, the diesel was a good engine. It was just a polluter.
Yeah.
That's why it was had so much pep.
Right.
Yeah. You know, when I first drove one of those cars that had these new engines, these new hot diesels, I drove it and I said, wow, this thing is as snappy as, you can race this thing. It's as good as a gasoline engine. How do they make it so clean? It doesn't make any sense. The logic wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, indeed it wasn't.
Yeah. Apple's on the buying spree. Apple usually buys little companies for specific things. Sometimes they buy a company because they have a technology that they want to crush. So they make them an offer they can't refuse and pretty much fold people maybe into their business or not. And then take their technology and put it into their basket of patents and intellectual property that they own. They bought a company called Perceptio. This is a startup development company that lets companies run artificial intelligence on smartphones without needing to share as much user data. So I'm not sure
what that means. What does that mean?
I have no idea. That's what I was going to ask you. Without needing to share as much user data. Maybe the artificial intelligence is so smart it doesn't need to access your information.
I have no idea. I have no idea what this is all about.
Well, the next problem is that Apple said that they acquired this to create a Siri-like personal assistant capable of having longer conversations. Why would anybody want that? I'm bored. I want to chat.
I think this has something to do with that device from Amazon.
From Amazon? The Echo?
It likes to chat.
So you're just hanging out and you're like, Echo, tell me a story. Echo, what do you think about what happened with Volkswagen today?
Yeah. I don't particularly think that the life of chatting with an inanimate object that happens to be sitting on the kitchen table or wherever you put it is really a good thing for society.
No. But our faces are so embedded in the computer screen as it is, whether it's there's something now. You know, you're out with people and you're hanging out with them and somebody starts like texting under the table incessantly, right? You know,
kids under the table. Most people that I know are just got the phones out on the table and they're spending all their time on the screen. You know, even within the conversation, if you talk about something, they look it up.
Well, yeah, I do that. But
I don't.
Okay. Well, you know everything. That's why.
I'm the last holdout. I don't have Facebook I don't use Facebook, for example. I don't use a lot of this stuff. And I don't sit there on the computer. I'm on the computer enough. I'm a writer. But I don't need to be on the little phone all the time, you know, typing every little detail in. And besides, why bother? The way I see it, most of the time I can just ask somebody to do it. Hey, can you look? I do it all the time. Hey, can you look up that thing about such and such? And they do it. It's like a bunch of slaves. It's unbelievable.
There's a new term out. I forgot what it's called here. When you're texting while with people, it's like plumbing or perfuming.
I don't know.
I saw it the other day. It's when you're texting while you're out with people in a social setting and it's kind of rude.
Well, being rude.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's some good news if you want to do some insider
trading. Would you rather be someplace else? That's what I always would like to. Yeah. I don't say anything.
Text them. Dude, what are you doing? Aren't you with us? Insider trading. Good news. Thought I'd mention this. Seems the Supreme Court will not hear an important case on insider trading that was already, through the lower courts thrown out, I guess, or it was involved. So executives and fund managers, they say, will now have a bonanza leaking secret tips after the U.S. Supreme Court declined to weigh in on the most significant insider trading case in a generation.
This is good.
So it seems that there was a bunch of insider trading that was going on, and because the whole issue of it was maybe secondary information. So let's say I got inside information. Somebody told me and I know, okay, you're the CEO of the company and you tell me that your stock earnings are coming out and it's going to be really good. Okay. And I trade on that. Well, clearly I'm trading on insider information, right?
Yes.
Okay. Very clear.
And that's probably the only insider information I think that should be maybe illegal. And I'm not even sure of that.
Well, now you get into a problem. Now I call you up and, hey, John, man, I got to tell you something. I really like this stock. This stock, I think, is really going to do well in earnings. I don't give you much more reason than that, right? I don't tell you that.
Yes, but I trust you, so I buy.
Yeah, so you buy. Now, if that's not insider trading, okay, because I told you, I'm just talking about one step away now. I'm not talking about if you told other people too.
Yeah, you're removed.
But I told you, and I knew it was insider information, okay? Therefore, I told you that information. So the question is whether or not you're liable or your situation also constitutes insider trading, or more so, if I could be liable for your trading. You follow what I'm saying now? So in other words,
I understand this is part of the problem.
And the thing is, if we say that no, clearly the only thing that's a problem is my insider trading, because you didn't know about this. So therefore, you didn't have, you know, it's not really insider trading for you. What in theory I could do is never trade anything on my own and just give you everything. And then somehow maybe...
You know that goes on.
Of course. So I wonder...
Here's the problem I have with insider trading, and I think our show reflects this when you make commentary on the stocks, various stocks going up and down that make no sense. Okay, so I find out that Company A and Company B are going to merge to form Company C.
Mm-hmm.
The company stock can still go down or up.
Right.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know the deal's going to happen, but I don't know what's going to happen with the stock. I don't. It could go up, could go down. And you've seen it where there's an announcement. All of a sudden, they come in way over earnings, and the stock went down 10%.
Right.
You talk about it all the time.
Right.
So I have inside information. Holy macro, the earnings are going to come in. They're going to be dynamite. And I buy a bunch of stock, and the stock goes down 10%. Well, it could go up. It could go down. I don't think it changes anything. You just happen to think that you have an edge.
But there could be other things aside from earnings. For example, we're going to be buying company ABC. So you go out and buy that company. Or you buy options on it like a lot of people do. Get really good leverage.
Right. I know. You see that all the time.
Right. That's why these guys are always looking for option activity. The whole purpose, when you see these guys like on CNBC, I think the Najarian brothers, they're coming out and like, hey, listen, we saw unusual. I get these reports all the time, all throughout the day. Unusual option activity. No news, but unusual. Usually trades 2,000 options a day. We saw 50,000 blow off today. Now, wait a minute. Out of nowhere, 50,000 options went off? Why is that? And that's why people hop on the train on those kind of things.
Yeah.
Because you know something's up.
Well,
or potentially.
Or not.
Yeah. Yeah, it's trying to throw
you off. You see a lot of this, for example, in FinViz. They have a list of stocks that are odd. And it's like unusual volume.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of these stocks that is like this. What? Why is this all of a sudden unusual volume to this crazy stock? And in fact, there's a bunch of them. Today, I'm looking at a few of them.
That's a good
Unity
sign.
Bank Corp has got unusual volume. DB Agriculture, long ETN, exchange traded fund, has unusual volume. Just this sort of thing. I mean, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, but something is, well, ETFs, ETNs, I wouldn't count. But yes, when you look at, but if you, in the totality of it, if you can follow the kind of clues, it's an interesting way to play.
Yes.
It's not a guarantee.
Insider game I like to play.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a look, continue on some of these stories. Oh, there's a big oops. Big oops. General Mills, they come out with all sorts of commercials because they're going to have a gluten-free Cheerios, the Honey Nut Cheerios, okay?
Shouldn't Cheerios, aren't that an oat product that has no gluten anyway?
I think they had wheat in it or something.
Oh, okay. Well, you don't need to put wheat in your oat product or your, oatmeal product. It's an oat.
Why is it oat? Cheerios?
I think it's oat. Isn't Cheerios oats?
Well, whatever it was had gluten, and I guess they took out the gluten.
Okay.
And now they're all big excited that, hey, there's no gluten and everybody should buy the stuff and all that. Oops, it seems that a whole bunch of the product was produced over the last several days because it has wheat in it, gluten products.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how that.
That's stuck. A mistake.
Yeah, yeah, I
somebody
guess so.
Screwed up.
Yep. Let's see here. Oh. I can't express to you the disappointment I have with the fact that Dorsey is now back as.
I knew you were going to bring this up.
It's so depressing. Just, I don't own the stock or anything. I just find the whole thing to be like, my God, with all the problems that we know that Twitter has from management issues internally, from the inability to really grow their user base to their ads, all the different things that go on, they decide after months to put Dorsey back as CEO while he's still CEO of Square. So he's going to have to share the CEO seat or share two seats with one person part-time each. And Square's coming out soon to IPO, supposedly. And that being the case, he's going to have to be on that whole road show or whatever he's going to be doing with that, right?
Yeah, you have to be on the road.
Yep. And now somehow Twitter finds that this is the best we can find. Not saying that Dorsey's not brilliant, capable, but I'm not saying any of that, okay? I'm certain he is.
You can go ahead and say it. It doesn't make any difference.
But
nobody can do these two jobs at the same time, especially when you have to go on a roadshow.
Especially when you have a dysfunctional company like Twitter.
Yeah, there you go.
But the stock was initially, one day it was down 5 or 6%, then it was up 6%, came in a little bit today. I find this to be kind of the pinnacle of Twitter's catastrophe right here. So two more stories before we get to our stocks. Real quick, number one, scam at fantasy football. You knew it was bound to happen, right?
This fantasy football thing is out of control.
Yep. So it looks like it was some kind of an arbitrage with the guys from DraftKings where they were some kind of deal where they knew information about one thing and they leveraged what they did with the other guys over at some other draft.
Yeah, there's two of them. Two main ones that are advertising all over the place.
Crazy advertising. Crazy advertising. Which I don't understand how we can actually get away with the betting here. Legalized
it's betting.
Gambling. I know, it's gambling.
It's gambling, but nobody. No, skill. Skill. Game of skill.
Whatever. It's the same thing as betting on horses, for God's sakes. Isn't it?
No, I think it's worse.
Okay. But now the whole thing, this guy reaped hundreds of thousands of dollars at a rival site, FanDuel, from some kind of non-public information that he gathered, and he kind of could see what was on what teams and what teams had certain values. And because it's a weekly deal, you know, if it was only a deal where you had to wait till the end of the season, it wouldn't have been like this. This is a weekly deal, weekly game.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a problem. Big problem. I mean, with all the advertising they're doing and all this, they're obviously making all sorts of money from sucking people into whatever they're
doing. I'll tell you, these networks that are playing, ESPN being one of them, I would make them be paying cash on the barrel head. If they're stretching these guys out with a net 90 or something for these ads, they're never going to get the money.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And finally, I don't know what to make of this at all. Microsoft unveiled today its first laptop, a line of Lumia smartphones, a new Surface Pro tablet, and an updated version of its wearable fitness tracker, the Microsoft Band 2, all running on Windows 10, which, okay. So now they got Windows 10 out there, and voila, they're a hardware company again? I don't understand, seriously.
I don't know either.
It's just as depressing as Twitter. They came out with a laptop. Did anybody not tell them the declining sales of hardware PCs and all? Nobody's given them that information. And didn't they have enough smartphone failures already that to bring out another one makes no sense?
They love this. They just think they can shoehorn their way into that market.
And then,
I just wrote a column that run tomorrow on PC Magazine, which discusses the little aspect of that new phone. It's kind of interesting. Mm. It's not going to save anything. It's just interesting.
Yep. And then the Microsoft Band I like is short Fitbit, so that works. Fitbit was down like 5.5% today. That works.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah, that would work.
So let's get to the stock. You can't see the stocks?
I can't see the stocks. There's no way I can see the stocks. Mm.
Well, I'll tell you. I'll walk through it then.
All right.
First of all, this is a game that we play. It is not an offer or recommendation to buy anything, sell anything, anything like that. We're not giving you advice here. It is a simple picks that we have on a weekly basis of what we think may, you know, show some action. And then if you do decide that you want to buy any of these, you have to go see somebody in the financial business that can give you some advice and talk you through it, because there's a lot of risk involved here. John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz and Company clients may own any of the stocks that are listed here. We'll duly note that. And on top of that, maybe if you're lucky, you could see this all live on the DH Unplugged site, registration required. But hopefully, if you're not using... By the way, why are you using that browser if it doesn't work?
It's a long story.
Oh, okay.
It worked fine until this episode.
Oh. Is there other things that are also problematic?
No, not really. Mm. I don't like the browser. I'm going to offload it eventually, but I'm using it for now.
All right. All right, let me give you a rundown real quickly of what's going on. TBT, which is the ultra short layman long bond, is down 4% because of obviously the bad news on employment. Bluebird Bio was stopped out. I think I told you that, about that. Your Omiris, or maybe we should call it amazing, up 25.5%.
There you go.
This is in a very, very, very bad environment for any biotechs.
Something wrong. I know. I agree. It's something wrong.
Yep. Gap, good thing that you're out of that because it really plummeted. American Apparel, yeah. They went out of business, bankrupt this week. And the Aeropostale and the Gap and all these, that genre of kind of...
they're all getting pounded.
Pounded, just killed. The HYG, the iShares High Yield Bond Fund is where I am short. It's up 3%. Now, we had a lot of things stop out, which I think you know about. Nugget stopped out for an 18% gain and all that. Okay, let's talk about some of the new things. Last week, I had three picks. I had Tata Motors. Remember that? The Indian company?
Yep.
I had Sun Edison that I'd taken another try on. And Helmrich & Payne, because I said that they were basing out very nicely some of these oil stocks and oil-related stocks, and that could be an opportunity. Tata Motors up 12.5%. Sun Edison up 25%. And Helmrich & Payne up 16%.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3. This is, I think, the first time he did it. That was a
trifecta.
Yeah, trifecta, a hat trick.
Yep. Now, we also have New Mountain Financial Corp, your pick, up about 1.5%. Wide Point Communication Corporations, which you thought was an insider thing, 15% stop, down 3%. Trason or Tracon Pharmaceuticals, down 3%. So you're holding there. I have one wild pick for this week.
Yeah.
So oil's been on a tear. A lot of it is that many of the hedge funds and all that are like, hey, you know what? Oil got so crushed last year. We're coming into the new year eventually soon. How much worse can it get?
Prop it up again.
Yeah, let's kind of get it going. So a lot, that's why, for example, Helmrich & Payne did so well. So tonight out comes the API numbers, and I think oil was up 6% today. 6% today. So I decided.
You're going in on oil?
Short.
Oh, okay, good.
On a
triple.
I think
that's better.
Yep, I'm going on the 3-time inverse. Never used this one before. The 3-time inverse crude ETN linked to the S&P GSI Crude Oil Index excess
an
return. It's
an ETN?
It's an ETN, yeah. Exchange traded note. Whatever it is. 3 times. It was down 14.5% today. So crude is hitting some resistance here. If it pops over, it's tomorrow morning at 10:30 is the Department of Energy numbers that come out with the oil inventories. If oil moves and holds above this level, a little bit higher than here, it could really explode higher. No question about that. But I think there's too much excitement in some of this that's going on. And some of it's also linked to the weak dollar, or weaker dollar, I should say. Not really weak dollar. But that's my pick.
Huh. All right, I'm going to short Volkswagen.
What is the symbol on that? Jeez, I have to go find it.
No, there's a bunch of them. That's the problem with Volkswagen. There's not like any. It's traded all over the place.
Right. I got to get
if
the
I can
one
find
from,
a good ADR version. You can try VLKAY.
VLK.
That's yeah, one of them.
Yeah, that's the one. There's VLKPY. Let's see what the difference is. Volkswagen AG ADR. Let's see. VLT. Probably, let's see what this is.
What's the difference in prices? What the
24 ADR. Bucks. 24 bucks for the the VLKAY. Then there's the, what's the other one? Volkswagen. Then there's the VLKPY, which is $22. I don't know what that is.
Well, whatever it is. Let's go with the
Let's look at the one that trades the volume. Let's do that. This one trades 147,000. The other one trades...
This volume
1.8 million. You want that one. That's the one.
Well, this other one's 727,000. It's almost as much.
Okay. Well, does it matter? Do you want the cheaper one?
I don't want the cheaper one. I want the $24
one. Yeah, that's the one I'm telling you. It's 1.8 million shares traded.
Oh, I'm looking at a different number then. Okay, yes, take that.
I wonder how I can do this. Let me see if this works. Control C.
We'll just arbitrage two of them and then just take the money in the middle.
Let's see if this works. Control C. I'm going to try to see if this particular symbol works. And it works. It worked. Okay, so that was up 4.5%. You're shorting this.
Yeah, I'm shorting it. I just have a bad attitude. Yeah, this other one's up 4. Yeah, 4.5% it went up.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a blip. Hope. We'll find out soon enough.
Okay. What else?
That's all I got.
That's all you got.
There's a couple of things. Well, now that you mention it, let's take a look at a couple of things. Hold on a second. I got to get back there. There's a couple of screwball things that I noticed in terms of guys buying and selling. Pioneer Natural Resources seems to be skyrocketing,
which is really interesting. It's heavily shorted that stock. That was Dave. That was Einhorn's number one. I think it was Einhorn number one stock to short because when you look at, he was going through a whole bunch of numbers in the footnotes. The footnotes he was just absolutely ripping them to shreds. This is about 4 months ago. And I think it came down a bit, but so do all these stocks. But he said this one is a disaster. This is what he said. I'm not saying it is, but this is what he said. I think it's PX. Was it PXD, the symbol?
Yes.
PXD. Let me see what this looks like. Let's see. Year to date. Year to date, it's down 8%. See, he was shorting this. I remember it was about it was probably about 140 when he was shorting this.
Yeah.
And came down to 110, 115. But really, if you look at this thing, it only came down, but came down from 180.
Then 136 now. I'm shorting it.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Well, because the guy, one of the directors, whoever it is that drew my attention, just bought a bunch of it. But the bunch of it he bought was just to cover a bunch of it he sold. He's been selling this stuff like crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
PXD.
So, I mean, if you look at it, you look at just insider trading, you see this guy. Let me just get his name and everything. Hang on. It's Richard Dealey.
Oh, I don't like that name.
So Richard Dealey just bought $14 million worth of the stock. I said, well, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. And so then I check his transactions out, and he's the executive vice president and CFO. He's the CFO.
Mm-hmm. So this guy should know what's going on.
He just sold that same amount the same day. This is some sort of a switcheroo. I don't know what the transaction is, but he's been options. Okay, last year, he's been exercising every option he has, selling. He sold $1 million worth just in May, and then he sold another $2 million worth in June. Then he sold $14 million. In some fashion, on September 24th, and then bought back the exact same amount, which makes me, because it didn't change any of his total holdings. I don't know what the deal was. I mean, some sort of this just doesn't look right to me. I'm selling.
Yeah, I'm looking at all this here. Option in March of 2014, option exercise, disposition at 185, options at 98. Yeah, acquisition, zero shares, 14. So he got freebies. And he sold them. Yep. It is kind of weird, some of the stuff here. I agree. There must be an explanation, but it looks weird.
It's probably some tax scam or who knows what. This is just what you do. I have no idea, but I just don't like the looks of the chart. I don't like the oil price being what it is. I don't know. I'm short.
We got you in.
Worst case scenario, nothing happens.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, any others?
Besides shorting Volkswagen and shorting this?
Yeah, you're shorting two.
No, I can't think of anything.
I'm long the short, so I'm shorting oil.
Yeah, we're all short today. It's a short, one of our short shows.
Yeah, exactly.
Although it ran overtime.
It did. Hey. Well, we'll end it there, and we'll get this up, and hopefully, like I said, go over to DH Unplugged and register so you can see the, hopefully see, if, unless you're using the Edge or whatever it is, that browser. you can check out all the live action, what's going on with our stock picks, and follow along. So otherwise, I will see you next week.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.